Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to another Wednesday of Keeping Brief. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another wonderful show of Keeping It Brief. And I hope everybody's having a wonderful Wednesday. Today, it'll be me and Kate and Diane, unfortunately, is under the weather. So we'll have Pam helping us out today. So yeah, Pam out from the closet, out from the background. So pardon me?
Oh, I said just don't make me stand in direct sunlight. I might get on fire.
Hello. Hello, girls. How are you today?
Wonderful, thank you.
Yeah. Hope you don't get the flu, too.
I just stay away from people. I'm okay.
Yeah, well, the water changes in the spring, eh? I think that's what the problem is, and we get sick with the water anyway. It's flu time here, too, you know. Yeah, uh-huh. So... guess maybe that's what Diane got for her. Anyway, I hope she gets better soon. We all hope so. Poor Diane. So anyway, let's go ahead. I guess we have so much poetry again today. So let's just kick this show off. Are you ready, Kate?
Yes, I am. Call me Weaver by all means. I quite like the pseudonym. yes, all ready to go. This is Art by Poetic Picasso. And Naomi, would you like to read that?
Yes. As soon as I get to the board here, I have to refresh. Sorry. I'm getting there. Okay. By Frank, right?
Yeah.
A Poetic Picasso, Illusions of Art. What is perceived as art is not, what is perceived as art is not always the image of an absolute embodiment. If we look through its prism of colors, we would see beyond its abstract beauty. It is through art and through art only that we can aspire to a semblance of perfection. No great artist ever sees things as they really are. If he did, he would cease to be an artist. Perfection is the mid-understood illusion, for it is the oldest illusion of art. Wow, what a profound, you know, statement he makes here, and so true about all art, you know, poetry and all art, and in particular, perfection is the misunderstood illusion. It is the oldest illusion of art. Yeah, it's true. You know, you don't need to perfection. To far from that, you know. Pam, what did you think of Frank's poem?
Well, you know, I'm always a fan of Frank's writing, and in particular his Oscar Wilde pieces, because they often tend to be very thought-provoking, very philosophical. Now, as someone who also is a big fan of surrealism and abstract art, I really like that he goes into the idea that art isn't about perfection, but rather getting the emotion out there and allowing the viewer themselves to put their own interpretation into it. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Oh, indeed. I that's an awesome comment there, Pam. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, yes, beautifully written. I love it. If we look through its prism of color, we see beyond its abstract beauty. Well, if you look through the prism of color, you'd end up with white, wouldn't you? Which is what it ends up as, this prism of color. So you have that sharp light shining on whatever it is you're looking at, if you look at it carefully enough. Yes, I think it's just really, really interesting. I strive for perfection. I think everybody does. You know, you want it to be the very best thing you can. So this is great news for me. I can just sit back and say, well, perfection does not matter. It's just so good. Yes, it's wonderfully written, and I did enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, I love that comment, Kate. Yeah, me too. I'm a perfectionist. And, you know, that's why I've been here for years and years, and I only have, like, I don't know how many poems I think I barely have like 200 poems up, you know, because I take like 3 weeks to write one, you know, and I write one and I keep adding it and going back and adding it and taking away from it and working on it. And I'm never happy until I just have to scream at myself and say, leave it alone, you know, it's okay, leave it alone. Yeah, so I don't know if others are like that, but I'm crazy like that anyway. So, yeah, so what do you have for us next, Kate?
I have Everlasting by Beautiful Blade Mars.
And we have an
Oh,
we have an audio for that, I think.
Yes, we do. Here
well
we go.
Well spotted. Oh, I see that now.
What?
Fine, that's lovely.
Oh, okay. Okay, are we ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it posted up? Yeah, okay. No, it is. Is it?
Well, I've got it, babe.
Cerulean carnations mark winding paths
yep.
around my ribs.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Now are we ready?
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Everlasting. Cerulean carnations mark winding paths around my ribs, strangle the marrow from my spine, and raise up new beginnings from the ashes of what was. I choke on misguided memories in my skull, try to breathe dust clouds of immortality, but only cough up ghosts of what could have been. My skeleton sighs, releasing thoughts of what should be into the air of what is, and my mind is freed of what forever will be. End poem.
Oh, wow. You know, I always love Beautiful Blades writes, cerulean carnations. She starts out right with, you know, such a vivid image there, you know. I never thought of that, but, you know, that works beautifully together. Mark winding paths around my ribs, strangle the marrow from my spine. Wow, you know, that is such powerful writing right there. I just love this all through. What did you think, Pam?
Yes, yeah. Well, first of all, she has a beautiful reading voice. You know, I really appreciate and enjoy her recording. There's a tenderness to this and a darkness that envelopes together. I particularly like that middle stanza with, I choke myself on misguided memories in my skull, try to breathe dust clouds of immortality, when I cough up ghosts of what could have been. You know, and so oftentimes we look back at that which could have been, and in our minds we twist things. We try to figure out where there was that one small step where we could have changed everything and had a different outcome. So beautiful, emotive write and very well done.
Oh, indeed. Yeah. And so true with about the sound clouds. You know, it's so amazing to hear your poetry and your voice. So if ever you can, you know, we just love hearing from you, your poetry and your voice. So we just love those sound clouds. So don't be shy and send in those sound clouds. And Kate, what did you think of Beautiful Mars's poem?
Just
beautiful.
Beautiful. Totally. That middle stanza, or maybe it's not the middle one. Yes, it is. I choke on misguided memories in my skull, try to breathe dust clouds of immortality, but only cough up ghosts of what could have been. That has got to be the saddest phrase ever, is what could have been. Because we do. We think back, and if I did this, if I did that. And that's an awful lot of wasted time and emotion, because you can't. I have always believed if you did what you did because you wanted to, you know, you can't really regret it. You can't think, oh, I shouldn't have, because that was your choice at the time. I think things may change, but so she's nailed that completely, the thought that you have about what you could have changed, what might have been. But then she released it, and she freed herself, and so everything for this particular poem, everything is now much easier because there isn't that restraint of what could have been. Very, very good. I really enjoyed it.
So true, eh? And, you know, the line that she ends with, and my mind is freed of what forever will be. What a line to finish this poem, this great piece on. Just amazing. So, Kate, where do we go next?
Well, we have Tails Up and Spinnerets to the Wind by Freya. If you don't mind, I think I'll read this one. Give everybody a little breather. So tails up and spinnerets to the wind is to do with sailing. I love all that. So much builds up, bursting banks of heart and mind. I wonder, could it ever be different? Spillway of dew breaks on desert sand skin, but no oasis of date palms bloom, no California poppies or Chapa Rosa. Only paste and salt remain, streaking the face that looks back. The early green seedlings formed around the loss overcompensates for a void in spirit, hyperconnective, yet planted beyond the tree line of friendship. A writing spider can do what to the wind and hope for a lift. End poem.
Yeah, that was an amazing, amazing read there, Weaver. Are you putting the links up in LNP?
No. Ah, ha, ha, ha. No, I'm not. I forgot because somebody else did that.
No, no, I mean, you are, Weaver, you're not supposed to be.
You're
just
supposed to be putting
reminder.
Them up in... You're supposed to be putting them up in Brevity Writers.
I thought I was. Oh, God, and Bennett. sugar. Sugar, sugar. Sugar, honey, honey. Just talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah. Okay. We just noticed that.
Oh, my.
I was trying to refresh the page and refresh the page, and I was there, where is the poem?
Oh, my. Good golly. Good.
But it's okay.
Let's get the next one.
This is such a beautiful write by Freya here. Oh, my gracious. I love, on desert sand skin. Wow. I just love that light. The spillway of dew breaks on desert sand skin, but no oasis of date palm blooms. No California poppies or Chapa Rosa. Only paste and salt remain, streaking the face that looks back. Wow, that is some beautiful lines there. What did you think, Kate? You read it so beautifully.
Oh, it was. It was really lovely. I liked the last little bit that was so cute about the spider. Basically opening up his little sails and hoping some wind will pick him up and take him on. It was just, it actually sounded very happy to me. I thought it was a happy little poem. And yes, beautifully written. And I really enjoyed it. And I'm trying to think
indeed.
Where I'm supposed to be. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, a writing spider can do what but put tails up, raise spinnerets to the wind, and hope for a lift. And Pam, what did you think of this wonderful poem?
Well, I really liked this all the way through. Beautiful imagery. I like how she captures that time of year in the desert, which oftentimes people think of as a lifeless entity, but there's so much life in there, and certain times of year where everything blooms, the cactus flowers, that time of day where everything's running around. And I like that she looks at the little pieces of life, such as, the spider, and that sense of hope that the spider has, or the knowledge that just maybe that right breeze will come along. So just really a beautiful write and very well done.
Oh, indeed. It's just so, so well said there, Pam. Hello, Lost on the board, and Hats. Hello. I'm happy to see you out there. So where are we going next, Kate?
All right. Let's see. I named it Harold. We're going to next, if I can get this on the correct place. Do-do-do. I think I'm in the same. Yes, I am. Okay. I can do. Sorry, people. Just bear with me. This is a...
Oh, yeah.
This is quite...
We have to,
difficult.
Two. After three.
Oh, my goodness. No, I'm back. keep going back to the same blooming page. I'm so annoyed with myself.
It's because it's the first one up probably there on the
I was in totally the wrong place, and I thought I was in the right. Now I can't get back to where I was, and I'm all set to go, and I can't find it. Just give me a moment. When I get flustered, it just gets worse, so I have to take a deep breath here.
No worries. All good.
Thank you, my dear. Very kind. Right. Named it Harold. Now, Anne, would you like to read this, please? Have you got it? Have I got it in the right place, or have I got it in the wrong place?
Yes, you do. It's okay. Yeah.
Okay, Pam, can you see it?
Yes, absolutely. And would you like me to give it a read?
Yes, please, if you could. Thank you.
I named it Harold by Moshi 18, and it goes like this. I found a lonely poem sitting on the ground. I put it in my pocket and carried it around. I think it's mostly harmless, and so I set it free. I put it down in words and sent it off to the end poem.
I just had a soft place in my heart for this poem. You know, it's so simply so delightful and so tender. It just enchanted me all the way. I named it Harold. I found a lonely poem sitting on the ground. Put it in my pocket, carried it around, and then I sent it off to thee. Just so beautifully written. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I enjoyed this a lot. I always enjoy poetry about writing poetry, and I like how with this one he personified the poem with the realization that it seems harmless. So you know what? I'm going to let it out there and let it express my feelings. And I think so many of us think that as we write a poem and let it out into the air, will this offend anybody? And, in this case, it's just a sweet little ditty and about the idea of releasing those thoughts of admiration. And just an excellent write and very well done.
Yes, I so agree, Pam, with you. Just an amazing, amazing write. Kate, what were your thoughts on this poem?
Oh, it was delightful, wasn't it? I named it Harold. How sweet. It was a great take on how we discover ideas, I think. Sometimes they're simply waiting there to be found. And sometimes it's a little bit harder. Sometimes you have to walk a few streets before you find your Harold. But I'm glad that Harold was set free. It was great fun, most enjoyable. A lovely, lovely poem, I thought.
Yeah, I just loved it. And where are you taking us next, Kate?
I have no idea. Yes, I'm just kidding. Startup by Michael McDermott. And Naomi, would you like to read this one?
I'm just going to refresh my page here. Just a sec. These pages, technology. Okay, startup. Startup by Michael McDermott. 24 spindle legs. Thud on glistening dew ground, early canter exercise sending these round and round. A combat training regime is taking place here today as heat smells start to escape from nearby new cut hay. Out like me since first light to join another's risen sun, along discipline now needed to move this giddy group along. Young horses so feisty on this fresh summer morn, firm guidance will need find this equine elite's winning form. Letters all sweat, gloss, metal stirrup, and brittle shine, flick tails and rippling skins, creating regular skiffle rhyme. Skittish, doomed factory sheep shuffle away to safer grazing, while a fox and I, with pounding hearts, stand transfixed, gazing. Ah, this is just sublime. I mean, I love the imagery throughout all the piece, you know. Just so, the flow and rhyme of the whole piece is just amazing. Just such a great job here, Michael. What did you think, Pam?
Huh. Oh, I definitely like all the imagery in it. I like that the first few, I like that there's a third party observation, like observing, and you don't really know if it's a person or a wolf or what it is, but you know that it's them and the fox that has woke up early in the morning, and they're watching these racehorses be trained. And I find that interesting that the eye person, the fox and eye, the eye person isn't actually said whether they're a person or another animal, such as, you know, as my thought is perhaps a wolf. But it is mentioned that the young horse is playing, and I think that's a great part. Young horse is so feisty on this fresh summer morn. Firm guidance will finest equine, elite winning form. And I like that because it reminds us, out of all the lines, it's probably my favorite because, first of all, it reminds us of the personality of young horses. They're naturally feisty. They're naturally energetic. And it takes that kind of that firm, loving hand and consistency to any young person, horse, child, to shape them to be into that winning form. So I just find this a wonderful, captivating imagery and very well done.
Oh, yeah, so well written. And Michael sent me a text that he was listening in this afternoon, so I'm saying hi. Hi, Michael, Mr. Michael McDormand from all of
how
us
wonderful.
Here. I'm just so happy that you're listening in to us. And Kate, what did you think of Mr. McDermott's poem?
Yes, I got the same impression that there was something out with watching these lovely little horses on that beautiful morning. Firm guidance will find this equine elite's winning form. So obviously this is a training ground for young ponies. So it kind of brings to life the picture of eager little horses being brought into line. Somebody's making sure they do what they're going to have to do. They're training them up. I thought it was a wonderful behind-the-scenes peek into horse training, as well as everything else, as well as it being a beautiful poem. It was really nice to get that sort of insider look at it. So I thought it was beautifully written. Thank you.
Oh, yes, indeed. Thank you so much, Mr. Michael McDermott, for, you know, this amazing, amazing brevity. It's so, so appreciated. So, Kate, where are you taking us next?
Well, next we have the composition is by Om. It's called Composition is by Om. I think I'll read this one, shall I? It's a nice long one. Okay. Patchwork pieces. Is that what I'm looking at? Yes.
By Omar.
Yes, that's the one. Yes. The speckled goldfinches spill across the lawn. The naked trees watch under this varnished moon. Everything is dyed orange. And when the moon is finished weaving, my heart will remember my name and I will return back to me. The ghosts of the past play to the rusty piano. The howling wind echoes a piercing sting of sadness. Through the veil of fog, in my dreams, withered roses from the garden of my childhood. The butterflies fearlessly touch me. Branches of trees wrap my wrists like shackles. I stumble over the spaces I once knew, changing direction. I open the shutters ever so quietly, thoughts drift onto my shoulders. Through the slant of my windows, birds have become silent, whispering secrets through the morning mist, catching the elusive peace. Now each night I will count the stars. There will be less to say, perhaps. End poem.
Oh, you know, he just interwove, you know, so beautifully, such emotion, you know, powerful emotion and throughout nature in this poem. You know, I just love, you know, some of the his play with metaphors here, and you know, the everything is dyed orange. Then when the moon is finished weaving, my heart will remember my name and will return back to me. Wow, you know, that's just so beautiful, you know. The howling wind echoes a piercing sting of sadness through the veil of fog in my dreams. You know, it's just such a beautiful, beautiful heartfelt right I find here. You know, just so explosive with so much emotion. What do you think, Pam?
This is absolutely beautiful. It's emotive and haunting. I like that it reminds me of struggling through depression or feeling lost in those things that once gave you joy. And it's wonderful all the way through, but I'm particularly drawn to that third stanza, branches of trees wrap my wrists like shackles. I stumble over the spaces I once knew, changing direction. To me, that stanza could be a poem in itself. Beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, yeah, so true there, what you said there, Pam. You know, it is really like a standalone piece. Kate, what were your impressions on this poem?
Well, it was very, very lovely to read, and so much imagery. The part about the moon, everything is dyed orange, and when the moon is finished weaving, my heart will remember my name and I will return back to me. It's just obviously thinking about his childhood, it looks like, and when things were a little bit easier, a little bit easier to manage, perhaps. He goes back, stumbles over the spaces he once knew, changing direction. So, yeah, it's the past for him. And it sounds as though it was an interesting past. Ghosts of the past played to the rusty piano. The howling wind echoes a piercing sting of sadness through the veil of fog in my dreams. So, yes, he's thinking back and things were a little bit sad, but each night you'll count stars and there'll be less to say tomorrow. So it looks like every day that goes past, the memories are a little less hurtful, perhaps, or, you know, it won't be as difficult to think about them each day that goes, which is always the truth of life, isn't it? That time does heal, even though it doesn't heal very quickly, it does heal. So, yes, I thought it was beautifully emotive, and I really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Yeah, it is such a thorough piece here. And I just love, you know, from the title, Patchwork Pieces, you know, just like a quilt that he weaves here throughout this poem, weaving a weave of emotions. So where do we go next, Pam? Not Pam, but Kate. I'm so used to saying Pam and the other shows. Sorry.
I know. Yes, not a problem. I told you, I answer to anything. Just whistle. Right, we have The Pageantry of Night by GEGC25. Pam, would you like to read this?
I apologize, I can't read that one.
Okay, no problem. That's not a problem at all. Let me read it then. Okay, are we ready? Evening gowns of saffron silk, trimmed with indigo leaf lace, the orb a silvery circlet clasp, sky's sparkling stars encased. Satin slippers walk dark seas, their opal footprints we trace. and poem.
Yeah, this is just beautiful. Evening gowns of saffron silk trimmed with indigo leaf lace. You know, he has just beautiful, beautiful imagery here. Satin slippers walk dark seas. Their opal footprints we trace. You know, beautiful, beautiful imagery and metaphors and rhyme and flow in this piece. So bravo. What did you think, Kate? That was a beautiful, beautiful write.
Yes, I enjoyed it. I liked reading it. It was very good. I like brevities because there is so much with so little. 31 words. Trimmed with indigo leaf lace. The orb a silvery circlet clasping. Oh, yeah, so that would just be like the moon that was shown in the picture. The silvery circlet clasping the wrists. Yes. So obviously this is person has looked at this picture and thought that is what comes to mind, the pageantry of night and all the different colours that were in that particular piece of art. So yes, beautifully written, and I enjoyed reading it.
Yeah, so I so agree. Just beautiful imagery all through. That was an excellent comment there, Kate. You know, the sky sparkling, stars encased, you know, just beautiful. So, Kate, where are you taking us next?
Well, if I can get my mind and my fingers to work together, which is proving to be difficult, we have, it's my cursor, that's what's not working properly, that's why I can't get anything up. Okay, Chocolate Chip and Macadamias by Robert Zmuz. And would you like to read that, Pam?
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. Chocolate Chips and Macadamias by Rob Isms. And it goes like this. Eggs and flour, brown sugar and ardor. Add a pinch of me with a smattering of sea salt. Mix vigorously, folding in liberal doses of chocolate chips. Crush or chop the nut to my desire. Pour milk and knead evenly. Wipe out corner of my mouth as I drew lasciviously. Shape into palm-sized boulders and bake hot. See them spread like a lover. Leave to cool. Steal the first bite like a kiss. Savage it with abandon. Crisp exterior surrenders to chewy guts and more sweet, savory flavor bliss and poem.
Wow, you know, I'm hungry now. Get me those cookies. This is a whole recipe just to make your mouth water. Oh my gracious, just beautiful. You know, the imagery and the way he just worded the whole thing. You know. Just so, yeah, he just made poetry out of a recipe, you know, just so beautiful, you know, and, you know, it is a long metaphor for, you know, how to cherish, you know, in love, you know, just beautiful. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I thought this was just absolutely an amazing write. I like that he uses the extended metaphor of breaking, you know, of baking, not breaking, sorry. And what was interesting to me is I found also a kind of a dark side to this poem with the crush or chop the nuts to my desire. Leave to cool. You know, I really felt like, you know, there was this whole idea of being caught up in the passion of the moment, but then making sure they realized that they were nothing more than the flavor of the moment, and that, you know, that there was going to be that walking away. So just an absolutely intriguing and beautiful write, and very well done.
Oh, indeed. It was, yeah. Just yummy, yummy, yummy. What did you think, Kate?
That was a very good point, Pam. I hadn't actually thought of that. But yes, there was that hint of darkness, wasn't there? I looked at the same kind of thing that you were looking at. Leave to cool, steal the first bite like a kiss, savage it with abandon. Oh, yeah, savage it with abandon, yes. That's, so I thought, as you said, about making, a tale of making, baking, and eating, a circle of perfect symmetry, and all of it cooked with love and passion, it looked like. This was very pleasant write, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, indeed. Me too. I just loved it. I just loved it. I just ate it up. And those were awesome comments. Wonderful insight into that, right, both of you. So where are you taking us next, Kate?
All right, this, I don't even know if this is actually a poem. Let me just click on it for a second. It says allpoetry.com. That's not a poem, is it?
It is actually a poem.
Yeah, I think yeah.
It is, yes, got it. Okay, Just One Friend, this one is. That's the title of it. Writing Cat wrote it. I'll read it, okay, if you don't mind. I'm alone in my shell with people around me. One enters and gives me company. They're there up and down and side to side. They talk between themselves as I slowly hang on beside. I see it happening around, gossips, sleepovers and all, those spontaneous visits with pictures on the wall. I just plea for one, a jolly one friend, to talk and play, and that I can depend. End of poem.
Ah, that was just beautiful, that reader, Kate, there. I'm all alone in my shell with people around me. Not one enters and gives me company. It's just such a sad poem. Mm-hmm. You feel the loneliness here, you know. I just plead for one, a jolly one friend to talk and play, and that I can depend. Yeah, just so sad, but you know, beautifully, beautifully written. The idea of being like a snail alone in your shell, you know, just wrapped around, covered in, wrapped around, and alone there. Cut off from everybody. What did you think, Pam?
I have to agree with you, Naomi. This is sad. It is heartfelt. It's a beautiful write on the idea, to me, of feeling lonely in the crowd, you know, because sometimes you can be surrounded by people and still oftentimes feel lonely. And the idea that we all crave and need quality companionship. And so very well done.
Oh, so much so. And Kate, your impressions of this poem?
Oh, it was so, so sad. We know it happened. I don't think there can be anybody more spiteful and cold sometimes than your peers, and especially if you're a child, because it's kind of a pack instinct if you're different. And I'm talking from experience. I know all about that. So my heart went out to whoever. It was actually, I think, written by the poet about a friend of hers, I think she says in her AN. So obviously that she must have made friends with this particular girl. And I just thought it was very poignant, very sad, but beautifully written.
Oh, so much so. They talk between themselves as a sort of hang on beside. You know, being a teacher, I've seen this so often, you know, in schoolyards, you know, where the kid or the child or the teenager is alone by themselves, you know, while the others are all playing and I just, you know, your heart just goes out to them. Yeah, so just a beautiful rite. Where are you taking us next, Kate?
Now we've got Unfledged Offering by Barbara G. And Naomi, would you like to read this?
Would be my pleasure.
Have you got it?
Unfledged Offerings by Barbara G. They clipped her childhood, but guarded her maidenhood. Teetering on 4-inch heels, she landed in a cloud of cigar smoke. Her 12-year-old buds winced as she dropped like a canary in a pocket of gas in a tunnel without exit. Yeah, wow. Whew. This is, you know, this is a very, well, first of all, I mean, it's so well written. You know, they clipped her childhood, but guarded her maidenhood. Yeah, just such a powerful ride on, you know, just exploiting a youth here. You know, teetering on 4-inch heels, she landed in a cloud of cigar smoke. Wow. You know, just the idea of that young girl being ripped away from her childhood and being exploited and put into this ugly world where they abuse her, this is just such a powerful wrenching rite here from Barbara G. What did you think, Kate?
We know this happens, and it's heartbreaking. Obviously, this person in this poem has been groomed from childhood, and the teetering on 4-inch heels, she landed in a cloud of cigar smoke. That's got to be the most heart-wrenching thing I've ever heard. 12-year-old, and she drooped like a canary in a pocket of gas in a tunnel without exit. That's very powerful and quite scary, I think, and beautifully written. I was going along with that and thinking that's just horrible, but just so beautifully portrayed to us that we could feel that kind of horror and that kind of pain through the words themselves. I thought it was an excellent, excellent write. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. So well written indeed. What did you think, Pam?
This is definitely a powerful brevity, strong imagery and metaphors, written on a difficult subject of abuse and, to me, human trafficking. And, you know, I just, all the way through, just it hits really hard. But especially the imagery of being, they clipped her childhood but guarded her maidenhood, and the metaphor of her being that canary that sings its last song in that pocket of gas. You just realize how many children out there are lost to the evil of human trafficking. It's powerfully written and very well done.
Yeah, indeed, you know, a very hard subject, you know, to just think about it, you know, but here, so amazingly well, put out there with the beautiful lines and amazing imagery and metaphors, just so well written, you know. She attacked the subject so brilliantly, I thought. And Kate, where are you taking us next?
Now we have An Island of Peace by Soul Talks. And if you like, I'll read this one. In silence, I walk along a lone path, barely noticing sounds of distant laughs, ready to leave the demands of the day behind. I allow the moment to infiltrate my mind. The weak, wintry sun sweetly touches my face, and brings lightness to our once purposeful pace. I listen to the wind's whispers in the trees, the songs of birds, and the humming of bees. Embraced by nature's most beautiful sounds, I treasure the peace my inner self has found. End of poem.
Ah, so beautiful. You know, ready to leave the demands of the day behind, I allow the moment to infiltrate my mind. And then the beautiful imagery that follows, you know, there's just like peacefulness that comes from reading this poem there. And you read that so beautifully, by the way, Kate. What were your impressions on this piece, Pam?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. Wonderful rhyming couplets. I like how we are here with somebody in this moment of finding peace after a long, difficult day. And I like this all the way through, but especially I listen to the winds whisper in the trees, the song of birds and the humming of bees. The idea that they're opening their mind and their spirit up to the songs of nature, I think, is absolutely beautiful and very well done.
Oh, so well said there. And Kate?
Yes, I think I echo everything you said. I'm particularly fond of the wind, and I love listening to the sound of it. So I listen to the wind's whispers in the trees, the songs of birds and the humming bees. Embraced by nature's most beautiful sounds, I treasure the peace my inner self has found. That must be a lovely thing, mustn't it, to actually have found your own resting point, your own point of life where you're happy with yourself and what's around you, but mostly with yourself. I think that's just beautifully written, and I really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, so much so. I have amazing, amazing poetry again this Wednesday, and, you know, I'd like to take just a second to thank everybody who sent me messages that they're listening in right now, and just say, tell them, you know, wow, thank you for your amazing, amazing rights. It's just a, you know, an honor to get them out there on this radio show. So, Kate, where are you taking us next?
Well, next we have the intriguing and slightly confusing I Class Fa Fa Thumb titles pinned to profile. I don't think I should have read that bit. Oh dear. Okay, so I Class Fa Fa Thumb, I think, is the title. And Pam, would you like to read this?
I'm sorry, I can't.
No problem, my dear, no problem. I shall read that. This is not a problem. Opium Pales and the Wonder of Ecstasy and Agony, Sublime Rain by Wilde. The gently soaking rains violently short-circuited the manes lingering within the catacombs of my brain. My shadow kissed my lips as your head invaded my hips, taking my face to your bed, spinning me up in your warmed, treacled web. Slowly stroking my soul, I gently fell into your hole and firmly began to rise in demise, with the grace of your touch being far, far too much. My iron fist slipped into your crushed velvet glove, fingers extended, I closed my eyes. While seeing, leaving pain, new holes weeping in the skies, lest it vastly ever rain. End of poem.
Yeah, well, this was an amazing, amazing write. You know, the way he took that picture and he made this, you know, this whole write out of it, you know, it is very sensual, you know, sensual. I find it sensual anyway. Maybe it's just me, my twisted mind. But I thought there was a kind of like a deep sensuality that rode around this the lines in this poem, and you know, a very you know, spiritual with the nature here, you know, and in every and you know, the gently soaking rains violently short-circuited the manes lingering with the catacombs of my brain, you know, and then his reaction. My shadows kiss my lips as your head invaded my hips. Just a wonderful write here by Wild. What did you think, Kate?
Yes, it was definitely sensual. I mean, there was no doubt about that at all. It was overtly sensual and beautifully done with style, nothing overt. Yes, I liked an awful lot of the imagery and the metaphors were lovely. Gentle soaking rain violently short circuited the mains, lingering within the catacombs of my brain. So obviously that was one rainy day. Yes, it was. My iron fist slipped into your crushed velvet glove, fingers extended. Well, I think we know. I closed my eyes while seeing. This intrigued me, this last few lines. I closed my eyes while seeing leaving pain, new holes weeping in the skies. Let it vastly ever rain. Rain being as in rain as a monarch, as opposed to the rain that we were talking about before, which is a nice little play on words. So yes, it was good to read. I enjoyed reading it, and it was very well written. Thank you.
Yeah, that was an amazing comment. I just want to say hi to Kitty the Naughty Poet that just sent me a message that she's listening. So, yeah, Kitty, we'll get your poem up shortly, for sure. Thank you so much for your support and listening in. Okay, so, Kate, where are we going to next?
All right, next we have Love Flying Free by Sujanda 5. Naomi, would you like to read this one?
Yes, just give me a second. I'm just sending a message here. I'm trying to do two jobs at once, or three or four.
I think three or four, actually. Would you like me to go ahead? Would you like me just to go ahead and read it? Because I'm sitting here doing nothing.
Maybe Pam.
Oh, yes, Pam, would you like to read this?
I would be happy to. Love Flying Free by Sujava 5, and it goes like this. Spring breeze upsurges with cool showers, strong scented, hearts of leaves flying gently, alight in my hands. Your trails leave me berserk, warm, cool eyes, warm smiles, send me millions of stars, makes me wish to see you. Though far magic of feeling, one with eyes, deep silent, leaves me perplexed, shut like fairy wish to fly around. Spun the magic of love, more to fall, glide down, fly like a butterfly, fly freely, it's love. End poem.
What a beautiful ride, eh? All about, this is a prompt. She wrote to the contest, E. Cummings, and the prompt is, it's about love. The E. Cummings poem. Just beautiful all throughout. Just the idea of spring there and how spring and the warmth and she goes into the deep silence, and the fairy wish. Oh, wow. And in the end, just, she brings it all together, spun the magic of love and, fly like a butterfly, fly freely. It's love. Just so beautifully written. What did you think, Kate?
Oh, yes, all of it. And yes, love flying free, spring breeze upsurges, cold showers strongly scented, hearts of leaves flying gently, alight in my hands. And the last stanza, as you see, brings it all, spun the magic of love, more to fall, glide down, fly like a butterfly, for I fly freely, it's love. Yes, it was just beautifully written because it's like anything, I don't don't know, anything about love just always seems to be so nice, doesn't it? It's so nice to have that to read when there's so much more in the world going on. So I really enjoyed that. It kind of took me out myself for a little while. And yes, beautifully written and very enjoyable. Thank you.
Yeah, that was an amazing comment. And I just want to say hello to Sujatha. I got a comment from her she's listening, and I just want to say thank you and hello. And that was a beautiful, beautiful, awesome right there. What did you think, Pam, that you're after that you read that so wonderfully?
Oh, this is just absolutely delightful. Not only the imagery, but the sense of movement within this, the sense of dancing and feeling free. I really like this all the way through, but especially your trails leave me berserk, warm, cool eyes, warm smiles, send me millions of stars, and fly like a butterfly, fly freely, it's love. There's that wonderful sense of the freedom that, you know, that of a love that lets you be yourself. And so wonderfully written and very well done.
It's an awesome comment there, Pam. And awesome comment to Kate also. You guys are doing much better job today than me. I'm just like here frantically trying to answer all these messages from people that are listening in, that are coming in at the same time. So, just thank you for everybody who's listening. Where are we going next, Kate?
Well, now we have Innocent Pastimes by Incubus 2. I'll just get that up on the board for you. Hopefully in the correct place. Right, I'm going to read this one, I think, if you don't mind. Innocent Pastimes. A thousand suns burn night and day within the woods along the way, where children laugh and gaily play, climbing trees or chasing bees amongst the ancient woodland trees. And the prompt is from a painting of a wood filled with daffodils. And
oh, this is beautiful, eh? I just love Incubus's writing, you know, but this is the first brevity I've actually read from him, you know, and it's so beautiful, you know, where children laugh and gaily play, climbing trees or chasing bees. Amongst the ancient woodland trees. You know, there's just like a fairy, the word ancient there, just like an old fairy tale feeling about this poem. But, you know, it also brings me, of course, back to my childhood, you know, we lived we had the country in the back of my house and a lot of trees to climb. And, bring some to my children's childhood, too, you know, and my tomboy, Kim, my girl, who was always climbing trees and falling out of trees. So just a wonderful, wonderful write here by Incubus. Thank you so much for this poem. And, Pam, what are your thoughts?
I really like this. You know, it's not easy to get such a nice meter in such a short poem. And Incubus does that beautifully. Wonderful imagery, wonderful rhyme. And there is a magical fairy tale-like quality to this. And what really intrigues me is the opening line, a thousand suns burn night and day, which really kind of almost turns it into the realm of science fiction to me. It's beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, so much so. Yeah, and it's true, you know, your observation there, so well said there, Pam. And Kate, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I haven't actually ever seen him write anything that would be called a brevity at all, but he did it beautifully, didn't he? thousand suns. That intrigued me as well, Pam. A thousand suns burn night and day. I think I was being a little bit more prophetic and was thinking along the lines of sun burns this side of our world and the next side of our world all the time, every day. It burns every single day for thousands and thousands of years. But I don't think that's it either. I don't think that's what he meant either, because I just thought passage of time. But anyway, children laugh and gaily play, climbing trees or chasing bees. And then you've got that lovely last line, amongst the ancient woodland trees. Because I love a tree. You have to hug a tree. It's got to be done. Everybody everywhere must hug a tree. And do you know, if you can't get your arms around it, it's at least over 100 years old. And of course, obviously, the bigger, the older it is. But that's the way I judge trees now. I just go up and hug them. I've got short arms.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't help. But yes,
I know. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, continue, Kate.
Yeah, that's okay. Just a sudden thought of me hugging trees. I am weird. It's got to be admitted. But yes, I thought it was just very, very, very sweet and beautifully put together, and I enjoyed it a lot. Thank you. And I forgot.
Yeah.
Forgot my job. I was so busy doing that. Oh, so
well,
carry
I
on.
I don't like what you had to say. And I think you're right. I think it is. That first line is about the passing of time. You know, sometimes, honestly, when I look at poetry and certain lines, I either jump way too out on a limb or I take it too literally. Like I took the thousand as a number of suns, like at the same time. And so when you said that, when you said, you know, the passing of time, I was like, you know what? I think she's right. So I'm really glad you said something. Very cool.
Thank you. That was. I thought your interpretation was brilliant. I wouldn't have thought of that. But, you know, we can both be right. It's the beauty of poetry.
Or we could both be wrong.
Oh, no. Don't say that. Oh, that's me. Oh, yeah. You're probably right. But let's go with the right, shall we? Yes, we're both right. I like that better. Yes. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, happy people.
Yeah, and the idea of hugging a tree, you know, I think I'm going to, as soon as the snow melts away, I think I'm going to go out and do that. You know, that must be an awesome, awesome feeling, just to hug a tree.
Oh, it's lovely.
There.
It really is lovely. It's just that it connects you to everything around you. But as I say, people do think I'm weird, but I've never been hurt by a tree. I have been hurt by people.
Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Kitty, the naughty poet, she cracks me up. She's painting away and just listening to us, you know, while she's painting. So, hey, I hope all this poetry is inspiring you, Kitty, while you paint. And yeah, your poem will be coming up soon. Kate, where are you taking us next?
Right. As to that poem, I'm afraid I've not been able to find it. So if you could find it, Naomi, Kitty's poem, because I've been up and down and up and down and I can't. But I'll put this next one up anyway. So it's called What's Amazing by Diana D. Don't think it has a SoundCloud, does it? No. No. Right. Pam, would you like to read that?
I would be happy to. We read this last week.
Did we? What's on the list?
I swear. Oh.
Oh,
okay.
That's my mistake.
Never mind. I'll go ahead and read it because I could be completely wrong. It could have been a different show it was read on. So I'll go ahead and read it, okay? Sorry about that. All right, What's Amazing by Diane D. And it goes like this. What's amazing? Discovering things you never imagined, like oranges used to be green, 12 plus 1 equals 11 plus 2, and 12 plus 1 is an anagram for 11 plus 2. Like pop rocks and Wi-Fi, like a green caterpillar become a blue butterfly, and that I am stuck on Band-Aids because Band-Aids stuck on me. What's most amazing is when you finally find your person and you become somebody because you've known all your life that you fall for a person through their eyes and one day you would lock eyes. From then on, they talk about you in their sleep and poem.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you know what show we had that on?
It was
Open Poetry.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking that after I said something. I think it was actually, yeah, it was. It was Open Poetry. Okay.
Yeah, I remember because I commented on it. And I said that this was the first time that Diane had actually entered into one of my contests. And, you know, I found this so amazing. It just sounds so delightful. Just the lines, I'm stuck on Band-Aids because Band-Aids stuck on me. You know, it's just amazing. And then, you know, she goes into more profound thoughts. You know, when she says, what's most amazing is when you'll finally find your person, you know. But I found this just so delightful all through this little brevity here by Diane. What did you think, Kate?
Oh, yes, it was really lovely, wasn't it? I liked the bandage stuck on me. I thought that was so good. Oh, dear. It was, and I like the fact that it got into something. The most amazing thing is when you finally find your person. Isn't that lovely? And you become somebody's somebody. Yeah. One day you'd lock eyes and from then on they talk about you in their sleep. That's just so lovely. I love the fact at the beginning was light and interesting and amusing and funny, and then we get to that part where life is as it is now because there's somebody else in it. I thought that was just beautiful and very, very well written. Thank you.
Yeah. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, this was absolutely creative and delightful. I really enjoyed that she put in an opportunity to learn new things, like 12 plus 1 and 11 plus 2, you know, and the little jingle of I'm stuck on Band-Aids because Band-Aids stuck on me, and then the transition into that deeper realm of the magic of the discovery of love. And just beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, so much so. So I found Kitty the Naughty Poet's poem, and I put it up there in Brevity Writers.
I see that. Thank you very much. I couldn't find it. Sorry, Kitty, I couldn't find it. I think it must be my bad eye I was looking with. But anyway, so now we have English Rose by Kitty the Naughty Poet. And Naomi, would you like to read this?
It would be my honor. English Rose. An English rose in a field of daisies grows beautiful, but planted solo, setting smiles from eyes that see unseen. The bramble beneath, a hot mess of pointy weeds, sharp with thorns bite, covered in sight by daisy's bloom. Perfection in petals upon first look, hidden flaws showing forgotten scars. English rose destined to wither alone as the falls of winter flow, untouched by desire, unpicked in the snow, unloved within its naked form in winter storms, growth. Wow, you know, such an amazing prolonged metaphor for such inner bewilderment here. With the bite and the thorns and everything, you know, and the scars, you just feel the pain throughout this whole ride and in something that is so, so beautiful. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, this was absolutely beautiful. I did love the extended metaphor of the rose growing in the winter field of daisies and left to be ignored. And it was truly a wonderful rite on somebody who has a certain strength and a beauty to them, and somebody who grows through the storms of life, but goes unnoticed by those that should be appreciating them. So beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, just amazing. You know, so clever and witty, this write, you know, and just beautifully worded all throughout. And what did you think, Kate?
Oh, it was just beautifully written. I enjoyed it. English rose in a field of daisies grows beautifully, but planted solo. So there we have the premise set up, that the English rose on their own makes people smile, obviously, because it's a beautiful flower, but they don't see what's going on underneath. They don't see the brambles and the hot mess of pointy weeds. They're covered by the daisies. So everything looks perfect when you first look at it, but then the hidden flaws underneath are still there, even though people can't see them. English rose destined to wither alone as the fall of winter flow, untouched by desire, unpicked in the snow. That's so sad. Unloved within its naked form in winter storms growth. Yes, as I say, the first line set it up for me, and then I could see from there on in what was happening, that the beautiful rose looks beautiful until you realize what that beautiful rose is suffering. So, yes. I probably got it all wrong, but that's what I took from it, and I really enjoyed it. It was beautifully written.
Yeah, so much so. And Kitty says, thank you for reading my poem, and thank you for all the comments. And thank you, Kitty, for putting that poem up, and it was just such an honor to read that for you. And what a beautiful, beautiful write. So, Kate, where are you taking us next?
Okay, we've got Fold by Scott Waters. There we are. I think I'll read this one, take my turn. Fold. If I write this poem, it won't be to fill some Napomo quota, but because the evening just folded on an origami sky into its back pocket. Oh, sorry, I read that completely wrong. Can I do that one again? But because the evening just folded an origami sky in its back pocket. End poem.
Yeah, what a wonderful little brevity here from Scott. You know, I just love his work, and he texted me too before the show that probably be listening in. So thank you so much, Scott, for sharing with us. What did you think, Pam? This lovely brevity. Hello, Pam. Pam? Oh, Pam had to go. Oh, sorry. She said, be right back. Okay, Kate, what did you think? That was a lovely read.
Okay, I'm sorry, I've messed up the last stanza. I'm so sorry, Scott. But it was really, really, really clever. I like the fact that you're not writing this for a quota, you're writing this because you couldn't help it when you saw the evening folded into its back pocket. That was just, what a lovely idea, an origami sky in its back pocket. Just, I'd never heard anything like that before, and it's just beautiful. I like someone with an eye that sees things completely differently, and that, it was really, really enjoyable. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the way he said that, because the evening just folded an origami sky into its back pocket. Wow. You know, that's amazing, you know, the way he wrote that. Just so clever. And the way he came up with that, just so witty. Wow. know, just amazing. I'll check. Okay, Pam's not back yet. So, Kate, where are you taking us next?
Now we have Bow Screeched in the Moonlight Shadows by Crystal H. Would you like to read that one?
Yes. Let's see. Okay, I'll just put it into Late Night Poets here.
Oh, you happen to do that too. Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, I did it because Pam had to drop away. Oh, okay, she's back. Okay, hello, Pam. Okay, This is by Crystal H. Bow screeched in the moonlit shadows. Bow. But is that bow or bow? 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 Bow screeched in the moonlit shadows.
Yeah, bow. Okay. Yeah, bow screeched. That's on a fiddle.
Yeah, okay. The bow screeched in the moonlit shadows. Yeah, that makes sense. Wow, that's a beautiful title. Earth quaked, shaken, trembled at the sound of her vibrant, violent harmonies of her violin, rhythms, tempos, strings stretched out, voices of the mute, a candle etched in the eclipse of the moon. Her bow screeched, swallowed up the shadows of the charcoaled skies, absorbed in her cloak, turned to an ashy black, churning of her alma, bitterness unwrapped. She knelt on bent knees, unable to handle such dark. The moon cradled down with just a split of light. It soaked up the nightfall, melting the painted black abyss, cleaning her cloak to white. Wow. I just love this, you know, this ride. It all has this feeling of, you know, when you read, you see, the picture, you know, the fantasy all around it, the feeling of that what you get when you read and see fantasy art and writing. It has a dark touch to it, you know. I see in her AN that she says depression here, and I can see that, you know. The bow screeching, swallowed up by the shadows of the charcoal skies. You know, just beautiful metaphors all throughout here in this piece. What did you think, Pam?
Oh my goodness, yeah. The sense of sorrow in this, the heaviness of the depression, it really just, you can feel it all within the imagery. I like that she brings the music into here, the playing of the violin, her bow screech, swallowed up the shadows of the charcoal skies, absorbed in her cloak, turned to an ashy black, churning of her alma. You know, to me, there's this idea of how music, or getting ourselves lost in music, helps with the process of healing. So beautiful, right, and very well done.
Yeah, so beautiful. Beautifully written, certainly, there. Just amazing. And an awesome comment there, Pam. Kate, what were your impressions?
Oh, and she's taken everything from that piece of art, hasn't she? You know, I hadn't even noticed the violin until you got to the harmonies of her violin, and I looked up and there it was, and I thought, all right, okay. This is all centered on that, but beautifully done. She knelt on bent knees, unable to handle such darkness. The moon cradled down with just a split of light. It soaked up the nightfall, melting the painted black abyss, cleaning her cloak back to white. Just just lovely. I mean, it used every single thing you could think of within that artwork and brought everything onto the page. Rhymes, tempos, strings stretched out, voices of the mute, a candle etched in the eclipse of the moon. And I thought it was beautifully observed and so well written. It was just lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, she did capture that prompt so amazingly. You know, she just wrote that prompt right onto the page, you know, in amazing, amazing lines. Just a beautiful, beautiful write here. And Kate, where does that take us next?
That takes us to Smiling Intoxication by Yua, Wild Dove. And I'll read this if you don't mind. Smiling Intoxication. Java steam moistens, cinders midnight acacia, fragrant designs. Eyes closed, coconut rum infused with swollen whispers. Milky flavors, enchant breathless perfumed fingers, tracing. Lips casting tingling spells, press kiss glistening. Irresistible magnetic urges, sipping colored ceramic rim. Dripping, licking urges, helplessly entwined, in titillate sweet, reminiscing. Smiling intoxication. End poem.
Wow. Wow, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Lou,
wow.
Bravo. Lou, you just, you know, she just has this way of writing. Just gets me every time, you know. It's as if she pours all her heart and everything right into her writing, you know. And, you know, this has, you know, I feel, you know, yeah, it's all about, it's dreamy-like. It has this kind of like loving, but, you know, sensuality to it, I find, you know. But, you know, it's just a warm and loving poem here. Just you know, so beautifully written. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I did like that it has that delicate sensuality to it. And the dreamy quality. I like that it brings us into that moment, those seconds where you're sipping away at the hot chocolate or coffee, the drink of your choice. And while you're sipping, you're looking back at tender moments remembered. So just beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, yeah. So much, eh? Sipping colored ceramic rim, dripping, licking urges, helplessly entwined, intitulate, sweet, reminiscing, smiling, intoxication. Wow, that's so beautifully put. What did you think, Kate, of this beautiful write by our Luyu Wild Dove?
Well, it was just lovely. It's the fact that there was, I love the three lines, four lines, but short lines, all giving you a different aspect of what was going on. I mean, outwardly all to do with, but so sensual that it transferred itself to something that was different, I thought, because each line was sensual and irresistible. Lips casting tingling spells, press kisses glistening. Irresistible magnetic urges, sipping coloured ceramic rim. So, I mean, it is, ostentatiously, it's supposed to be about coffee, but it was just beautifully written, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so much so. Such a talented writer, like our Pam Ray. Oh, and humble too.
Oh.
And Kate, where are you taking us next?
I have The Old Song. Just bear with me a moment. Slowly, slowly, catchy monkey. Now, think I put that in the wrong place. Just give me a moment. Sorry. It's quite a difficult thing for me to keep everything where it should be. When I go onto another page, everything's moved.
Yeah.
Why is it doing that to me? But yes, here we are. Gotcha, little monkey. See, if I'm doing something else, I just get completely lost. Here we have That Old Song by CRL17. And Pam, could you read that one, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be happy to.
Thank you. Thank you.
That Old Song by CRL17. And it goes like this. Our old song comes on the radio while you're in your car and driving home. Keep a straight face. You're not alone. Don't let him see you're thinking about me. End poem.
Wow. You know, you just go wow. You know, I messaged Chuck before the show, you know. I hope he's listening. This is just amazing, Chuck, this brevity here. You know, just keep a straight face. You're not alone. Don't let him see you're thinking about me. Oh, yeah. all that old songs, you know, how powerful music can be to bring up memories, you know, even when you're sometimes with somebody and this old song comes up and suddenly you're thinking about this ex or this other person, you know. Just because that memory of the song takes you there, just so well expressed. What are your thoughts, Pam?
Oh, I enjoyed this. It definitely is relatable and smile-inducing because, you know, a favorite song, certain songs definitely bring back memories or bring those thoughts that you don't want exposed to anybody else. So excellent write and very well done.
Oh, yeah. An amazing comment there, Pam. So true. What did you think, Kate?
Oh, I haven't been in that position, but can you imagine it? Your old song being played. Oh, no. And you're with somebody. Well, you're obviously with somebody. Keeping a straight face, you're not alone. Oh, that's just so clever. I know, you know, it's all that embracing. Those small amount of words, I think that's incredibly clever and such a great idea. I wouldn't have thought of that at all, but it's true. I mean, I have sent text to the wrong person and it has been incredibly embarrassing, but that would be, I think, even worse because you're there and you're confronted by this and the memories and you're trying not to let it show. So yes, I thought it was very, very, very well done and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's an amazing, amazing comment there. So true. Imagine your wedding song from your ex comes on.
Oh my goodness.
I just got a we didn't read Casey yet, because I just got a message from her. No, Casey, if you we'll be reading you shortly. What do you have for us next, Kate?
I have for you next. I don't have for you next. Sorry, I thought I had it. Oh dear. Just let me refresh my page. I thought I'd put something up. No, I haven't. I'm sorry. Give me a moment.
Oh, no problem. No pressure.
Thank you, my dear.
Take your...
it can get...
we're having a wonderful time and practice is... You know, we're practicing every show, so
yes,
we're getting better and better.
Well, you are. Okay, I've got. I just hate when I go wrong. That's my own stupid problem. Okay, Whether or Not by Casey Day. There we are. I'll read that one. Jeez, it took so long to get it. Sorry. Oh, you're in love with sun, but I, a storm hiding inside soft pink clouds. End poem.
That's an amazing haiku, you know. In love with sun, but I am a storm hiding inside pink soft clouds. You know, so thought-provoking. You can take this and spin it in so many directions, you know, whether, you know, he's in love with searching for something and she's another thing, you know, you can take it in so many directions, this haiku. It's so thought-provoking. I just love it, you know. It's so clever. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I thought this was a beautiful and thought-provoking haiku. I really liked how, the general theme, well, there's a couple different things, I think. I think, first of all, that it reminds us that oftentimes we underestimate the inner power of women, especially if we see them as, you know, soft and light and, you know, nothing but a representation of pink. But it also is a sad admonishment to someone saying, you know what, I'm not the person that you want in your life. I am the storm, and you can't handle the storm. You don't want the storm. And so just a powerful and emotive haiku and very well done.
Yeah, so, you know, Casey has such a talent for writing. I think she everything that she writes, you know, is just so well worded and well thought out. Kate, what did you think? That was a beautiful read.
Thank you. It was just lovely. You're in love with sun, but I'm a storm hiding inside. So basically, this is. I look soft and pink and fluffy on the outside, but I'm more than you can handle, came across to me. But I just thought it was, again, so much all crammed into this and well thought out, well written, and an awful lot of interesting things going on in it, which I enjoyed a lot. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Bruce, bravo, Casey, on that right. So, and thank you so much for writing for the show. So appreciate it. And Kate, where are you taking us next?
We have Blinking Fun by Lockdown Larks. And Pam, would you like to read this?
I would be happy to. Blinking Fun by Lockdown Larks. And it goes like this. Eating, drinking, poetic thinking. Cheating Dr. Death, taking one more breath, eating, drinking, family linking, seeing each new light of day, knowing there's more time to play, eating, drinking, wishful thinking, get with the lads for the game, win, lose, or draw, it's all the same, eating, drinking, glasses clinking, card games with friends, hilarious ends, eating, drinking, eyes now blinking, seconds gone one by one. Go to bed, had too much fun. End poem.
Yeah, what a wonderful right, eh? You know, eating, drinking, poetic thinking, cheating Dr. Death, taking one more breath. You know, just the idea of, you know, he has humor in here, you know, but, you know, this, but also I see like a deepness to this, right? You know, just the idea of like every time you take that one more breath, you cheat death, us, you know, and it's so important to savor all those moments that you do breathe, you know, and spend them with family and friends and you know, and spend them doing something that's important, you know. Just a beautiful ride here. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I thought this was a wonderful ride on appreciating every moment, especially after those times where you come so far close to experiencing death and leaving this life, that when you come back, it's that idea that I really need to get out there and enjoy and appreciate friends and family and life and time spent together. So beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, so much. Just an amazing ride here. What were your thoughts, Kate?
Oh, yes. I agree with everything that's been said. It was a romp. It made you think of all the good things. I mean, there is nothing that can't be wonderful that doesn't start with something like eating and drinking. I mean, you know, that's it. You've got me right from the beginning. Eating and drinking, poetic thinking, cheating Dr. Death, taking one more breath. Because quite frankly, if we were to live the most safe life, you know, we would have to do without all the things that make life enjoyable, because all the things that make life enjoyable are bad for you. And you can't get intoxicated on a lettuce leaf. You can't get particularly overweight on a lettuce leaf either. So I thought this was lovely. This was, you know, enjoy yourself. Grab life while you can. And win, lose, or draw, it's all the same. And it was just, I enjoyed it a lot. Makes me think about things as well. So thank you.
Yeah, and girls, I have a message from Casey. She just says thank you for all your comments, and thank you Casey for writing for the show. Thank you so much. So where are you taking us next, Pam?
Or Kate?
You mean either?
Kate.
Pam, you are so popular. I love it.
Casey wrote on the board, so I didn't have to do that announcement at all. She just wrote it. Thank you so much, ladies. I will try to call in one of these shows soon. So, you know, thank you, Casey. Okay, so go on, Kate. Sorry
thank
I
you.
Interrupted you.
Not a problem, darling, any time at all. So She Must Be Free, Reverie by Cap, if you don't mind, I'll read this one. Oh, beautiful bit of artwork, She Must Be Free. Such is her need for freedom that to live her life confined to one space, restricted to a solitary patch of ground, to be imprisoned in one town, one city, one country, to be forced to live a life of captivity that does not permit her to explore the world, is to live like a mermaid, trapped in a tiny goldfish bowl. And the dedication is to the beloved child of my heart, my very own beautiful Elena. Swim free, my precious mermaid. Joy. Sorry, Pam. No, but could you just take over, love, please? Anyway, end poem, sorry. Oh, dear.
What do you think about this write by Bobby, Pam?
Oh, it is absolutely beautiful. It's a wonderful brevity. I like how it expresses a love for an individual, but also an expression of love for you know, women everywhere who need that freedom to explore and to be themselves, who need to not be forced to live in that fishbowl mentality, but given free rein to say, show who you really are. And so beautiful write and very well done.
Yeah. And yeah, Bobby, thank you so much for writing for the show. And, you know, this is such a beautiful take on that prompt. And, you know, just such a beautiful A.N., you know, so heartfelt, the write all through. Kate, are you able to comment? It touched you a lot, eh?
Yeah, it did. Well, yes, it's beautiful. I'm sorry, I can't. It was really, really sweet. So,
yeah.
Excuse me. Really sweet, and I loved it a lot.
Mm-hmm. So where are we going next, Kate?
Now we have Velvet Waltz by Simon Guest. And Naomi, would you like to read this?
Yes. I'm just going to refresh my page here. Sorry, girls. Coming.
Accidentally, yep. Putting in the wrong group again.
Oh.
That's why you can't see it.
That's why you can't see it. Okay. No, give me a second. I'm going to say, goodness, woman.
Yeah, well, while you do that, I'll just read it.
There we are.
Okay, by Simon. So, Simon, if you're off work and listening to us, hello. Hello out there. And this is for you. Velvet Waltz. Bathing within beauty's velvety reflection, elegant sways, goose bumps, gather, wilt, breezes, race. Oh, wow, just a beautiful, beautiful brevity here by Simon, so well written. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I really like this. Even the title fits so well with the poem. The velvet waltz, you can picture somebody wearing a velvet dress, very gothic looking. Also, there's a very gentle tone to this, a very sensual tone. And I especially like elegant sways, goosebumps gather. Beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, there's imagery. Imagery is beautiful throughout this piece, and the emotion too. What did you think, Kate?
Oh yes, it was a lovely velvet wolf. Bathing within beauty's velvety reflection. Yes, elegant sways. It does. It makes you think of these big Victorian, beautiful dresses that ladies used to wear. Elegant sways. Yes. Again, beautiful brevity and very well written. I like goosebumps gather whilst breezes race. Yes, I enjoyed it a lot. It was very well written and very evocative. Thank you.
Yeah. Again, you know, very witty and clever. I think, you know, that an aspect of good, you know, the good brevities that we... you know, we read today, we read so many amazing, amazing writes. And, you know, they're all so clever and witty. And you know, you have to be to put such strength and emotion into so few words. You know, it just takes such a brilliant mind, I think. So anyway, so thank you again, everybody, for writing, you know, for the show. And where are you taking us next, Kate?
Right, I have. Yay, got the right place. I'm Slipping Under the Bridge by Poetic Creations. Naomi, would you like to read that?
Of course.
Have you got it?
And I hope PC is listening.
Mm-hmm.
I'll growl at him if he isn't after the show. Sleeping Under the Bridge. Under the full moon that comes with spring, titanium geraniums bloom and songbirds sing to the morning dew. while the deer play king of the hill before going back to hiding in the trees where they make their beds on bare grass. And while I napped, beaver chewed trees and moved lumber down the creek. When I woke, I watched the scene, squint-eyed and afraid, that if I showed my wide eyes, they'd surely see me, then run and flee. End poem. Oh, wow. You know, just I just love poetic creations, writing, and, you know, the way he, when he writes about nature, it's just so amazing. You know, just the idea of napping and the passing of time, you know, from that passes so quickly. I got that out of the poem here. You know, he just goes, naps, and when he awakes, you know, he squints his eye, and that if I showed my wide eye, they'd surely see me, then run and flee. You know, just that moment of the passing of fleeting of time as you nap, and then, you know, when you wake up, you're just scared that maybe everything will run away. Maybe I'm reading too much interpretation into this poem. Maybe it's just, you know, I have to take it literally what it's written, but it just flows beautifully. Sleeping under the bridge. Pam, what were your ideas on this poem?
Well, the interesting thing about this poem for me was the title, because if I had to guess what this poem was about based on the title alone, Sleeping Under the Bridge, I would have guessed it to be a poem about homelessness, about a homeless person or people that have to choose to take refuge under the bridges, under bridges. You know, but then it goes into this just beautiful, thoughtful, and almost pastoral-like imagery of watching the birds, watching the deer, just the quiet solitude of observing nature. And the emotion really comes in with, I watch the scene squint-eyed and afraid that if I show my wide eyes, they'd surely see me, then run and flee. And with that, there's another turn of thought to me that, you know, that gives thought to the idea of wanting to interact, but the fear of showing yourself and scaring people away because you don't know if people will accept you for who you are. But just a beautiful and intriguing write all the way through, and very well done.
Oh yes, so much. You know, just beautiful, beautiful wording throughout. What did you think, Kate?
Yes, so much in here to read and to enjoy. I particularly liked, and while I napped, beavers chewed trees and moved lumber down the creek. And when I woke, I watched the scene, squint-eyed and afraid. I thought that was just lovely. You can imagine a beaver working away, and he wakes up, and all the trees have gone. Very good. I liked it. Wild deers play king of the hill before going back to hiding in the trees. Yeah, which is true. You see a deer for a fleeting moment, then it's gone. So, like you, I thought it was going to be something along the lines of, I've got nowhere else to sleep, so I'm under this bridge. But it was so much more, just really, really interesting. I liked it a lot, and it was great. Thank you.
Yeah, just, you know, another great, amazing write by our PC here. So just amazing, and thank you, PC, for writing for the show. So appreciated. And, well, I guess we have time maybe for one or two more. We'll see how it goes. So where are you taking us next, Kate?
So we have My Spring to Be Soon by the North Storm. Now, I would read this, but my mouth is so dry. I'll read it. Okay, My Spring to Be Soon by North Storm. The numbing pride withers away, unfolding the bud. Oh, Kermit. Sorry. I'll do that again. Kermit. The numbing pride withers away, unfolding the bud. but lays curbed. End poem.
Yeah, it's an amazing little two lines. Yeah, curb it.
I'm so sorry. That was hilarious. When I said that, I thought, what have you done?
Sorry, Northstorm.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Northstorm. I thought there was a new word. Okay. Over to you, Naomi.
Losing in here. The numbing pride withers away, unfolding. Oh my Jesus. Okay. Pam, help. Take help. Over.
This is absolutely beautiful. I like how it's about the unveiling of spring, but it's also about letting go of our pride. It's interesting because there's something about this, right? And I think it's the use of the word bud and the withering away. It actually kind of makes me think of smoking pot, you know, like having that bud between your lips and allowing everything to just be chill and numb and sitting on that curb and, you know, just letting that moment of relaxing fall over you. I think it's just a wonderful thing to be able to create a thought within two lines. Beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing, you know, the insight that you saw there about smoking a pot there, the bud. I see that too now. But, you know, just an amazing two lines, you know, about spring and the growth and, you know, you know, the love of spring and the renewing of everything, you know, that lays curbed, unfolding, the idea of the everything just bursting out, you know, into life here. Just wonderfully put these two lines here by the North Storm. And Kate, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I would like to apologize to the North Storm. I'm so sorry. I could not control myself. Very, very stupid of me, so I do apologize for that, reading it wrongly. But yes, two lines, and so much in those two lines. I hadn't thought about the aspect of pot. Numbing pride withers away, unfolding the bud. Yes, very well could be, I suppose, yes. But still and all, unfolding the bud, that's really lovely. I like that idea. And there's a person who has decided that pride is not all there is in life. You can be a little more gentle or care a little bit more or all of those things, and pride doesn't have to get in the way. So, yes, I thought it was beautifully written, and I enjoyed it a lot. Thank you.
Yes, there is, like, so much. I mean, she packed, the North Storm did, she packed so much into this little brevity here. I mean, you know, so few words with so much said. And, you know, that is an amazing, amazing talent right there, you know, to be able to do that. So just bravo. And, and that was like our last poem for this Wednesday, girls. Just another amazing show packed full with talented writers and beautiful, amazing writes. I just enjoyed myself so much, you know. I hope you did too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, Yeah, so, and I'd like to say if I could that I hope Diane feels better soon and gets back with us.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, Diane. Yeah, I hope that flu passes, Mommy Gracious. You know, she was saying that she was feeling so weak and was, you know, said Sunday that she's sick.
Oh.
So I hope she gets better soon. Best wishes to her for sure. And, yeah, so just thank you, everybody, for listening in and for writing. And we'll see you next Wednesday. And thank you, Pam. Thank you, Kate, so much.
Thank
Good
you, Naomi.
Afternoon.
Thank you, Pam. Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.